This is Bishop Patterson from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. You may reach me at Post Office Box 109, Darby, Pennsylvania, 19023. You may also reach us by way of the World Wide Web at theapostolicfaith.org. Theapostolicfaith.org. We thank you for tuning in to this radio station at this time for the Whole Truth Radio broadcast. Well, good morning to the saints around the world. We say peace be unto you and praise the Lord Jesus. We are so grateful to be bidding peace to them that are in God and them that know God. Because when Christ came, of course, he took peace from the earth. So now that peace is no longer in the earth, thank God it is among the people of God. It is a joy again for me to take such precious time to come to you with the gospel of Jesus Christ for the saving of souls. I am so happy with what God has done with us and by us for the continuation of truth. And I thank him that he did not leave the church in neutral, but we are moving forward and been moving forward since the day of Pentecost. But a lot of people are in neutral. And when you want to be moved by any wind of doctrine, then you will stay in neutral. Most people know if you're having a problem with your vehicle, they would tell you to put it in neutral so they can either push it forward or they can push it backwards. And a lot of people are in neutral. And they try to serve the Lord being lukewarm, or I guess my thought now is you're in neutral, but you got to get out of neutral. And the thing that puts you in neutral is you don't know whether to go forward or backwards. So you're just sitting. But something in the Word of God shall propel you forward. Speaking to a friend of mine, and he has this religious speech. Oh, he said, I'm on the battlefield fighting for the Lord, and the Lord's going to crown him one day. And true words. But when you get into the conversation, he asked us, how do you know such a thing about the Spirit? Because the Lord said, it's going to come a time that them that are in the grave are going to hear the voice of God. And they're going to get up. And he said, how do you know that? And the young man, it must be in neutral. So I tried to propel him forward by telling him, we have a witness. We have a witness of someone that was dead and rose on the third day, got up, did more work, made himself known, and then went on back to glory where he came from. And that witness was Christ. We have a record recorded, so you don't have to be in neutral about what the Spirit of God has said. And the Spirit of God are the words. And I began to tell him, it is the words that is in your mouth is the Spirit that should be the witness for what God has said. A lot of people are still in neutral. But the church is still moving. The church is very fluid because what the Spirit is doing is shining a light on a part of the Word that it wants you to consider now. When Christ walked, each moment that he had with humanity, he gave them something to think about. When he approached an issue, he was trying to get the whole Jewish family to come out of neutral, saying we're going to just stay here with the law. We're not going to move from this, when the Lord was wanting to propel them forward into grace. And when you look at the books that the man of God took a lot of time to write and put the spirit on paper and put the words on paper, because he did not want to leave and his life was not reflected in the books. So when you get the record, it will not let you stay in neutral. And people have speeches that, you know, I get a chance to talk to a lot of people, and you talk to them about, and they can see the truth so quick. And then they say, well, you know, I'm going to pray about it. It's like before they go one step forward, they put their spirit in neutral and say, we'll pray about this. That's not how it was when the Gentile family began to hear the truth. They say, we want to hear more about this. Tell us more about this. Cornelius, in the scriptures, in Acts, he wanted to be saved. He wanted to come out of neutral and make his life account for something. And when he acquired at God, God himself came down in his words, sent an angel to say, send for Peter. He sent him for the man of God that was in the land. Now, it appears to most folk, maybe God should have did such and such a thing. He did, but he did it by the man of God. And he prepared Peter to go to the Gentiles, because when he walked the face of the earth, he told Peter not to. But it was now time for God to tell him to go. And this is the thing, when I say the church is fluid, it might be at one point we don't do something, but when the Holy Ghost moves and say, now do this, it's time to come out of neutral and move. For many years, people wanted the salvation of souls in the Gentile family. And thank God, Peter obeyed the Spirit. And when the Spirit came to him and said, don't you call anything that I have done uncommon or unclean, there was a new wave moving. So Peter then had to get with the program that heaven was giving. And he did. It took him some time, but he did it. But thank God, God gave the Gentile family their own head, Saul, which was later named Paul, the Apostle Paul. And Paul moved a lot of the Gentiles, maybe in reverse, going backwards, but they had their own gods, and he took them away from that and turned them to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And nothing is new today that we're still trying to move people off of neutral, saying, well, you know, Bishop Patterson, we heard you, but, you know, we're going to pray about this. And in the 20 something years I've been at it, I don't understand. He said, in the day in which you hear, harden not your heart. But it's amazing to me that the devil and his marvelous works that he do to the sons of men, they can hear it, and the next moment it's gone. It goes to the heart, but it doesn't plant. It gets in the ears, but it doesn't get to the heart. The eyes see it, but they have no understanding of it. The clearest thing, when he say, be baptized in my name, it is so clear that people understand it. When a gentleman walked in the church sanctuary in Dallas, and I had put the normal signs that we have in most of our churches, which is the foundation of our faith, is when the prophecy was that this thing was going to break out at Jerusalem. And of course, on the day of Pentecost, it broke out at Jerusalem when Peter said, repent and be baptized. I put Matthew 28:19 up and I say to baptize in the name, and I put name in red. And then across from it, I put, then Peter said, be baptized in the name, and I put Jesus Christ in red. And a young man, he was Baptist. He was coming to do some work there for the church when we were doing a lot of the renovation there to make it a place for saints. And he looked up and he said, it cannot be that simple. I said, what do you mean? He said, it cannot be that simple. I said, it is. I said, if you're talking about the name, and then Peter gave the name, he said, it can't be that simple. He told me his father was a Baptist preacher, and he preached the water baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but didn't do it. The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost was Jesus. And he said, it just cannot be that simple. Yes, but he saw it. But did he get in drive and go forward? He stayed in neutral. He didn't say, well, will you baptize me in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sin? I would have gladly got in the pool just like I was to baptize that soul. It is a joy to me when I see someone get washed of all of their sins. That is a joy. Heaven rejoices. When that happens, the angels are rejoicing that we got another one out of the hands of the enemy and got somebody off of neutral. It's amazing. And I guess I say that when I'm thinking and I'm looking at something and I'm just bewildered at how does that happen so quickly? And it makes my heart rejoice that God didn't do that to me, that he let me see. You can tell young people until, as the custom of men sometimes say, that you're blue in the face. And I don't think that's pretty accurate when it comes to African Americans, but if you're blue in the face, something's getting ready to happen. You're dying. I guess you don't get no breath. But however, it's a good saying. You know it. Until I'm dying, I'm blue in the face. I can talk to young people until you're blue in the face. And those clowns stay on neutral. You tell them, the scripture says that you will make no cuttings or markings in your body, either for the dead, or you don't mark your body because it belonged to the Lord. And you can give them the scripture writings in Leviticus 19, I think in 28, somewhere up in there. And it said, don't print or mark upon your body because he said it belonged. It said, I am the Lord. Don't do that. So you tell them, and then they get off neutral for a second. And then they go to that idiot box and they see all of the sports guys, everybody got these huge sleeves of markings all along the leg, all on the arm. Some people got it all over the place. You got some religious folks that have put in permanent markings around their eyes and their lips, permanent markings on them. And the Lord said, don't do it. He said, I am the Lord. Don't mark. Your body is sacred. It's my temple. Don't do that. Don't put any markings or cuttings like they put in when somebody died. They put their initials on. The Lord said, don't do that. How do you get these clowns off of neutral? How do you get them to go forward and say, I'm not going to do that? Because the Lord said. And then you walk into the sanctuary and got it covered and think nobody can see or nobody knows. It was very interesting. I was talking to someone and they said, Bishop, I am just still amazed at your mind that you have, that you can see things and you warn us of those things. And during our convention we just had, I asked a young lady, I said, will you show me the photograph that you have on your phone as your screensaver? And she looked at me. She said, sir, I said, may I see the picture that you've taken of yourself? That's your screensaver that you have on this pink dress. You're sitting on a fountain, a big concrete round seat around a fountain. And I told her what her hair looked like. And she looked at me and said, how in the name of God do you know what my screensaver face is? But she had good sense not to show me it. But she knew that the Lord had done something to say, get off of neutral. Get yourself together. Either you're going to walk the way of truth or you're going to walk in sin. And when I talk to the church and say the church are going to be saved, the church is the folks that are not in neutral. They're moving forward. They are exploring the word of God and finding out, why did the man of God mention these two witnesses? Why was he talking to us about these witnesses that they left in the streets, that they were not buried like other folks, but God raised them up? And he looked at it as Elijah and Moses. Because you don't know where Moses is buried. Elijah wasn't buried. He was taken up. Then he got buried at when he was John the Baptist, when he came, of course, back. And then you look at those two witnesses and look who they witnessed with on the Mount of Transfiguration. And you see what that symbolizes. The church is not on neutral. This conversation that the church is going to have is, I'm not to show you how much I know more than you, but it's to share what I know with you so that you would get off neutral. Because people think, like the young lady said, sir, how do you know what's on my phone? Because I can see it in my mind. And it's like my eyes are looking upon it. But that's the gift God gave me. And when someone called me and before they can get the issue, I tell them what it is. But I do that to show that the Lord is with me. And for you to get off neutral and think your life can stay on pause and you call yourself serving the Lord. You can't serve the Lord on pause. And many things put you on pause. Many things put you in neutral. And when you're in neutral, the enemy can push you forward wrong. He'll push you to the left forward, but you're going to the left forward. Or he can push you backwards. But if you put it in drive, the Holy Ghost will steer you right. And if you don't know which way to go and you are neutral, let the Holy Ghost get behind and push you to the right. Ask the Lord to get you off of neutral. But many things put you on pause with God. When you don't obey the word of God, you're on pause. You stopped. If something comes and you say, I don't want to obey that. If the Holy Ghost said, I am the Lord, don't mark your body for the dead. Don't print it on it. And you think tattoos are not markings or printing? Why would you do something that is contrary. And you show them. And you wonder, how did those clowns get on pause? They were raised in the way. They know the way. How did that much of the world seep in and carve out a hole in their heart, planted evil in it, and that person begins to water the evil instead of the good? When he said the love of many shall wax cold, I've seen it in my lifetime. And people will say out of their mouth that they love you or they care about you. But when you look at what they do, they have gone to pause and to reverse. But when you show them the word of God, that should try to get them to find out where in their heart the enemy has planted that evil. And they can dig it up by the roots and make sure they get everything and discard it and go forward. The brothers had a theme that they always, their motto, they called it, go forward. In that day, the brothers didn't really say forward. They said forward. But they meant move. The word of the Lord is not going to be the same thing as it was 30 years ago. The church has grown, it said, in grace. You know, you go to some churches that call themselves apostolic, and it's like you're teaching a little child A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. It's the baptism. The scripture says, leaving now the principles of the doctrine, let's go on to perfect ourselves. Let's find out why you are so worried about the outward. And inside, your dead men's bones are in there. And you're not worried about digging out the evil in your heart, but you're worried about what you look like. You put the Spirit of God on neutral, so that any wind of doctrine that come by, you'll believe it and it will move you. The church moves. God takes it higher. He takes it deeper. He takes it wider. The breadth of this thing, we're searching it out. But when the man of God is able to warn someone, get your house in order, because you're not going to get a mansion in God's house when your house is filthy. Because the Holy Ghost cleaned it when it came. It swept everything clean. But how do people get on neutral is beyond me, when the fire that they get when the Holy Ghost first abide in their souls, they don't want any unclean thing to touch their hands, their bodies, their minds, their spirit. They are just happy in God. But it's like they lay down one day and they go to sleep, and while their body is asleep, they put the Holy Ghost to sleep. And they go to neutral. Or maybe it's like the scripture say, the cares of this life. What do you think? But everybody's who's traveling and on their way to worship service, you're on your way, and is it just routine? You hadn't had any conscious thought with God yet. Listen to this broadcast. Your mind is on neutral. You're doing the exact same things you do every first day this time. And someone was telling me yesterday when I was talking to one of the deacons in the church, he said, Bishop, when they look at how many people listen to the broadcast sometime, over 30 or 40,000 people listening to the broadcast, and they're keeping a track of where it is in most, it's in most countries and most states. He said, but nobody, he said, everybody do internet church now. And I said, internet church? He said, yes. He said, they listen to you. And he said, he knew somebody. He said, they listen for a few minutes and that's their worship. And then they go and do anything else that they want to do. And I thought about it. I said, you know, you might be right. Because when folks start, they could turn their television on and they can go to church in their house and watch it on TV. Faith don't come by watching. And he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You will not assemble with anybody watching them on TV and you home. I can see like the radio is a supplement. That's what we use to get to you. I can see that a television program is used to get you so you can come to the worship house. But not for you to sit home and say, oh, I'm sick, or I'm an invalid, I'm a this. Look, they picked up invalids in their beds and took them to where the man of God, took them to Jesus. They didn't just get, you say, well, Jesus is in town. Well, say, tell him to pray for me. Though there is a part of the record that the man said, you don't have to come to my house to do the work. Just speak the word. But there was an interaction. Someone came to Christ. There is no worship with someone and you watching them and you say, well, we're two or three are gathered together. They just throw out anything. There's no two or three gather. You're by yourself. But I can see if it's a use of you, this is the church is coming together and say, we're going to put on the spirit of the man of God and we can hear him or see him. And we'll worship together because he's not in our coast. But people have gone to neutral. There was always a gathering of the people of God. So when the speech goes between one and the other, they're edifying one another. And then they begin to testify of what God shall do. But hearts have to get off of neutral. Your minds have to get off of pause and say, I am going to serve the Lord with all of my heart, mind, and soul, and I'm going to do it according to the Spirit. Because the scriptures say, they that worship God, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. And you can't make up your own truths or your own truth. Because people change like the weather. But the Lord doesn't change. When he asks you to do a thing, do that. So when he comes, you can say, I got this out of the word and I did it like you said. How can you be put to death if you obeyed? How did the world get on neutral? Because the enemy put him on neutral. He knows that there is one God and he trembles, but he told the world to believe in three. He put them clowns on neutral. They got a God the Father, a God the Son, and a God the Holy Ghost. And the Lord said, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. But the devil make you believe that there are three, and there are three distinct people in the Godhead, really. Now he not only got you on neutral, he got you on pause for serving the one God, because there are some beliefs that say, I have to pray to the Son for him to tell the Father. Well, the Son said, me and my Father are one. When you see me, you see him. You see who sent me. I am him. We have the record of someone say, show me the Father. And the Son said, you're looking at him. He said, it is I. And they go on neutral. But let me tell you, when the fire of the Holy Ghost get a hold of you, you won't go to false doctrine, because you'll come off neutral and said, if I am serious about the saving of my soul and I say I love the Lord, I'm going to come off neutral and do what the Spirit says. Because there's going to come this time, the scripture says, that the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, the scripture says, they that have done good until the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil until the resurrection of damnation. So when the man of God says a church is going to be saved, I'm talking to the church. But that person that's sitting there, I'm trying to get you off neutral to let you know you're not a part of the body of Christ. When you receive the Holy Ghost and you're moving forward in Christ, and then all of a sudden you find yourself worldly, that your appearance is more than anything to you, that you can, God gave you black hair, but you rather have it blue. You got to come off neutral. Either you're going to serve the Lord, or you're going to serve mammoth, you're going to go after money, or you're going to serve the devil, the evil one, that dragon. Something's wrong, and you need to get it right. You put your spiritual life on pause. And when you go to assemble yourselves and you hear the preacher say something totally contradictory to the word, and you don't move, you sit there. He tells you something that is not written, or he misinterprets something that is written. I find it so wonderful when the Lord has your mind pure when it comes to his word. And when you give it to people, you give it to it in its pure form. And sometimes it's just raw the way it is. It's not baked. It's not fried. It's not anything. It is just like it said. But people say, well, he couldn't have meant that. Sure he did. You'll tell people that the scripture says, like deacons and elders, the husband of one wife, and they're at a time. I say, it didn't say at a time. So they say, well, he couldn't have meant that. Excuse me. He couldn't have meant that. If he wanted you to have as many wives as you wanted, what in the name of heaven was it needful to write a husband of one wife? He could have just left that out. If you can have three or four at one time, or nine or six at any time, it was not needful to write a husband of one wife. He wrote it for a purpose. If he's writing to the church and saying a widower cannot be taken as a widow indeed unless she's been the wife of one man. Now they take that to say one man. Not at a time. If she's been married more and having more than one man, they say now she's not a widow indeed. She's been married more than once. She's had two men. Well, they were lawful, could have been, But that's not the point. The widow indeed can only be a woman that was married to one man. And if it could be at a time, it would be no need to write that. So get off of neutral and say if he wrote it, he wrote it like he wrote it for a purpose. But when you find an honest heart, and that's why I thank God, you come across some guys that are honest in heart, the scripture said. And when you talk to Bishop Patterson, he's going to give, if the word said it, let's stay with the word. And let's not get any supposition. Because see, the church was already here before the sexual revolution. Before Woodstock. And the drugs and all got in. The church had its rules. The church never believed in an adulterous lifestyle. And you, adultery is if you have a companion that is living and you divorce them and you remarry, that's adultery. We don't care about what the law says. If you put her away, Paul told you in Corinthians that you have to remain unmarried. You can't go marry someone else. You have to remain just like you are. Or be reconciled. How many preachers have two wives? One they put away and they married another and they're in the pulpit. Now, you gonna stay on neutral? It's an epidemic. And people go and pause because you know why they love that? Because if he can do it, they can say he did it and I can do it. Why you think the laws changed? It was not lawful. There was a case right here in Jacksonville where a man was sitting at a restaurant eating with another woman that was not his wife. You know that man went to jail? Because it was not lawful to be seen with another woman and you were married. But the lawmakers say that, you know, we got to ease this up because they wanted another wife. Look how many of them have been remarried. You got a man running for president now. How many wives have this man had? But everybody's on neutral. You got the so-called religious conservatives. They're so far out of the word. We render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to the Lord what is the Lord's. The laws of the United States of America is not the church. And the church laws should apply to the world, but the church laws applies to the church. When you come out of the world, the Lord takes the world out of you and you out of it. It puts you then in the church. You abide by the church laws. You come off of neutral and you go forward to make your calling sure. But when the scripture says, whosoever putteth away his wife, he don't care who you are. He said, you committed adultery. Christ fixed all of this. So when the man of God says, a deacon, he giving you the qualifications that we are to look for to put someone in a position in the church, that fella has to be above reproach. You cannot put a man that has been married, he had a child out of wedlock, and this thing is seen by the church, and you put him in front. What do you think people are going to come in there and say? He got a child out of wedlock. He has another child that's not from his wife. Is he going to be able to stand in front of the church with that open thing? Everybody's looking at it. You got to come off of neutral. All of the men of God had some issue prior to the Lord changing us all. Paul said I was a blasphemer. I was murdering saints. He said, I'm the least. And I agree with him. We are the least. But the Lord take us off of neutral. And whatever our thorn in the flesh to keep us humble that he gives us, we pray toward the end of all things that when the voice go out to raise up the dead, our faith is that we're going to fight the good fight of faith and believe. And the warfare is going to be fought to the end to believe God. The man of God can't be on neutral. It's time to come off neutral. There's coming a time that the scripture says in the 5th chapter of St. John that the Father has the life and he's given it to the Word, and it's within the Word that you can find life. He said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And they shall come forth, they that have done good until the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil until the resurrection of damnation. You don't get two resurrections. You're going to get one. Either you're going to be the resurrection of life, which is in the first resurrection, because that has everything that is holy. Or you're going to get the second death, which is the damnation. Now you choose. If you want life, you got to come out of neutral and go forward. If the scripture says be baptized in his name, do it. Come off of neutral. I don't care what anybody said. What everybody that was baptized that you have in the record, the eunuch, the Cornelius, the day of Pentecost, the upper room, everywhere. They went down in the name, not the titles or the records. It's best to say the word record of God, because he was the Father in creation as a record. He was the Son in redemption as a record. He was the Holy Ghost as a record. Those are the three records that Christ chose to give the apostles. Say, baptize them in the name of these three records. He had a record as the lily of the valley, Jehovah, Jireh. He had a whole lot of records, a burning bush. He's done many things in his record, but he chose those three for a purpose. And you got to come off neutral. And when you get in the church and you think you can, you know, you get on fire for the Lord for 5 minutes and then go to neutral. Of course, every wind of doctrine is going to take you out. Because you didn't stay steadfast. So if somebody rise up in the church and say, you know, everything we heard is wrong, and you are not on drive to go forward, and you are not having the spirit that amens everything that you have heard, and you are sure of how you got it, you're going to follow every wind of doctrine, and you're going to go away because you went to neutral. But if you stay moving forward, I don't care what people say. When Kenneth Omega Yiddeth came with his foolishness, I was in drive. I mean, I tell you, I had it to the flow. I was in drive. And I went to him. I said, this church has never done. We never had no such thing as no co-pastors. We never believed in such a thing. He said, Oh, yeah. You're right. Won't you come and talk to us and we can see what we can do for you? You can't do nothing for me. Well, we can give you some of the blessedness garments, and I don't need, that's not going to save my soul. What you're doing to the church is wrong. I stayed in drive. But the scripture had to be fulfilled that they were going to put us out of the temple and say that they're doing God's work. That has been fulfilled by us. But we stayed in drive. We kept moving forward. We got deeper, wider, and higher in God. And these clowns are still on neutral. So being in neutral, Kenny can say anything. And they say, that sounds plausible. That's what the word said when you read it. But where's the understanding of what it is? It said, unto us a child is born. Where was the child? The concept in that day when they say, I am the Son of God, that means you were God. They say, how are you being a man? Make yourself God by saying you are his son. Because he was God. And he knew that the Jewish family would understand his speech when he said, I am the Son of God. Son of God is flesh and blood. But you got to get off neutral to get an understanding that there is but one God. God is a spirit. But when he took on a body, that body became his son. Whose son is Christ? He asked them. And they were not able to answer him then, nor can they answer now, he said, because Christ is nobody's son. He has no beginning of days, no ending of life. But God said, I laid down my life. When did God have a life to lay down? You got to come off neutral. They say, well, he said he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. Right hand doesn't mean a physical right hand. It means in the power of God. Right hand is the power. The air doesn't have a right hand or a left hand. When you don't know which from which is listed, it's the wind. It's like the spirit. He fills the heavens and the earth. Where will his right hand be when he fills everything? It's the speech so you can understand that it's talking about the authority or the power of God. He says, sit here by my right hand until I make your enemy your footstool. Just sit here in the power of God. Just sit by. And I'll make your enemy your footstool. So where is the right hand of God then? So you look north and you say, well, I'll sit to my right. Well, what if God is looking the other way? His right would be your left. Perhaps he's not facing north. You got to come off neutral. So when the Spirit writes by the man of God and says, deacons, husband, your wives have to be faithful, that doesn't mean you can be divorced from her and she married to somebody else and you think you can be a deacon. Say, well, she didn't want to do this and she didn't want to do that. Well, you know what? She's still your flesh. When you say I do, the Lord takes your word and make you one flesh. And he said, what the Lord has put together, let no man pull asunder. But you know, it's always that second one that gives you the ride of your life. Because the first one was, as people say in the world, hell on wheels. But where then do you come off neutral, say, I got to do the will of God? If he puts you away, do you realize Paul said you have to stay that way? Or he said, be reconciled. Say, what if he gonna kill me? Oh, okay. Now we got the what ifs. Did he? Separate yourself from such, but you can't go have something else. The Lord will protect you. You can sit yourself aside, but you got to come off neutral. That don't mean you get, you know, something on the side. You have to come off of neutral and say, either I'm going to obey what the word of the Lord says, and don't let your flesh find a way around it. He's too wide, you can't get around it. He's too deep, that's the song they sung when I was young. You can't get under it. He's too high, you can't get over it. So you might as well go as high as he is, as wide as he is, and as deep as he is, and be content. But you got to come off of neutral. It was no reason for Paul to write the husband one time, and you all add at a time. He said, I don't have a wife if my wife is dead. He said, well, the husband of one wife. So if you are the husband twice, or you can have it twice or three or four times. What was the need to write that? It makes no sense to write the husband of one wife and he forgot to say at a time. So you add it. So he couldn't have meant that, because what if it's a young man and this and that, and he go over to Paul and say, well, if his body is, he says, best to marry than to burn. Okay, that ain't talking about a deacon or an elder. That's talking about a brother. But when you look for someone in that want to have a part in this work, say, well, give me a portion. And the Lord said, I want you to take this portion. I want you to do this. When you start out and you put yourself to the plow to start, you know, getting ready for the seed of the Lord to be planted by something, you evangelizing or whatever you're doing for the work of the Lord, you can't turn around. And you can't ever go on neutral. You got to keep moving forward. I don't care what has your feet entangled. You must move forward. Drag it. The damnation of hell is real. And when he say some to life and some to damnation, that's what's going to be. And if you on neutral, I'm going to tell you your portion is damnation. Because he said, I would rather you be hot or cold. I'd rather you go straight forward or backwards. But I don't want you just sitting on neutral. In lukewarm, he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. So why then would anybody want to be on neutral? And the word of the Lord is saying, I need you to do this or that. And you say, well, I'm going to wait on the Lord. Okay. I told the church about a parable. There was a man in his house. And there was this great storm. And he was sitting in his house and a warning came, said, now you need to get out of this area because it's getting ready to flood. Now that was the Lord the first time to warn you. He said, no, he said, I'm going to sit here and wait on the Lord. The water came up to his threshold. They kept warning him, get out of the neighborhood. It's going to be a terrible storm. It's going to be bad. He still said, no, I'm going to sit here and wait on the Lord. The water got so bad, he was now on the roof. He said, and a helicopter come by and say, take the rope. He said, no, I'm going to wait on the Lord. A boat came by to get him. Say, I'm waiting on the Lord. And the clown drowned and got in hell and say, Lord, I was waiting. He said, I was the voice. I was in the boat and I was in the helicopter trying to save you. And you kept saying you were waiting for me and didn't see I was the voice, the boat, or the helicopter. And that's how we are sometimes. We say I'm waiting on the Lord, but the Lord has already showed up. The Lord has already shown you need to get off neutral and make a move right now. And don't sit there and say, I'm going to pray and wait for the Lord. Well, what do you think the Lord is doing? Why are you going to be praying and the Lord is moving? That's like somebody locked up in jail and say, I'm going to pray for the Lord to deliver me. And the bars open. All of the guards are asleep. It's dark. And there's a pathway right in front of you all the way out in the jailhouse. And you're going to sit there and say, well, I'm going to wait on the Lord. The man of God would have still been locked up in jail. But he got up. When the chains fell off, the door opened on his own accord. And you're going to sit there and say, I'm going to wait on the Lord. It's time to get off of neutral. Everything that has been preached to the church has been true. That means you cannot go backwards. You've got to move forward. You got to remember, if you've fallen, you got to repent. You just can't stay. If you've fallen backwards, you just can't stay there. The repentance moves you forward. Even when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, that spirit that says, I hold the seven stars in my hand and I walk in the midst of the church, the candlesticks. He said, if you've fallen, I believe it says, he said, you need to repent and move. Every spirit that spoke to the church warned them, you got an issue. You're in neutral. You are lukewarm and you're not hot or cold. I need you to be moving. And I'm giving you space to get yourself together. Get off of neutral and move. If you are in disobedience to the word of God or what the man of God has
given you from God and you have taken on something else, it's best to go ahead and repent and move forward. I had dinner the other night with my brother. And he was saying to me, you know, the apostolic way is the best way. He said, but somehow when I got my children, I got crazy. And I decided I didn't want my children to have the rigid way of the apostolic faith. He said, not that it's wrong. He said, I wanted them to be more liberal, you know, whatever he thought. And now he said, you know, I told my oldest too. He said, y'all need to go to church. And he said, the ones that he can have now that's still in his home, the three, he said, I'm going to bring them to church. He said, because what our parents did and gave us was the best way. Because he said, the word is rigid and we need to give it that way. So he said, I'm going to bring them to church. But I thought it was good for him to come to it on his own. Nobody had to tell him. He saw it. So he had to come off of neutral because he said, what I've done. And in his speech to me, the Lord was forgiving him for even doing that. And I'm praying that the Lord will answer his prayer to get his children rooted and grounded in his faith. And I believe the Lord can do it for him. Even though he said, I find myself in a situation I know is wrong, but sitting on neutral, and you know, the devil would tell you, you know, you ain't no need of you being no hypocrite. You should wait until you are saved and then go to church. You think that worked for anybody? We turn sinners into saints. But you got to move. You can't stay on neutral. You can't stay in and say, well, I'm waiting to be a saint. You're going to be a sinner until you die. To be a saint, you have to come and get your sins washed away. You have to repent of your sins and move, come off of neutral and move forward. But look how long it took him for him to understand, my children should understand God better than they do. But I wanted them not to have the rigid way of the word. The word won't change for anybody. If he said be baptized, is that rigid for everybody? There is no one to get around it. When he told Nicodemus how to be saved, Nicodemus and everybody got to come off neutral. So come to church. Get off of neutral. Stop thinking the way you think is right and the way the word has it is wrong. Get off of neutral. I'm so glad I had this opportunity. And I hope you understand my speech. And I pray that in your life, you begin to move forward and don't sit on, I want to do something. Go ahead and do it. And this is Bishop Patterson thanking you for joining us for the Whole Truth Hour.
Thank you for tuning in to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith radio broadcast. Join us where everyone will be uplifted, young and old. For more information, visit us online at theapostolicfaith.org.